second of the nine we have a four. I do not see, I see that the Honorable Groenewald, Meshu, our Honorable Minister, good morning Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister.
Morning.
Mora Akbar Groenewald. Good morning.
Goeiemorgen.
Honorable Whitfield, we are all here.
I'm doing well, thanks.
Honorable Meshu, we don't want to listen to your phone call. All right. Honorable Shembeni, good morning. Honorable members, today we are not going to be getting the details of the amendment bills. We want a brief synopsis of these bills. We would like to have the processes which the SAPs and the Department of SAPs are engaging in to pass these bills. We have set ourselves certain targets, and Honorable Minister, we'd like to know how we are going to meet these targets. Before we do start, Honorable Members, this past week we have been hard hit by the fate of children who have been killed, murdered, raped, and I think that the situation is becoming very, very critical, and I do think that as we find the rapes and killings of children this morning, a girl of six was found raped and killed in Dansani. The list is growing longer and longer. Inati Maslolo was killed. She went to the shops on Monday. A number of children. I find it gruesome, and at some stage or the other, we have to look at the killings of our children in our country, just as we have been focusing on gender-based violence. Honorable members, I'll give you, before I give the minister an opportunity to introduce the presentations today, the bills which are before us, and as I say, we will not engage in the details, would be the SAPS Amendment Bill. The SAPS Amendment Bill has gone through cabinet. We await the further processing of the bill. The committee has also looked and prioritized the IPED Bill, the Firearms Control Amendment Bill. Then, Honorable Minister, we were also concerned about the Criminal Law or the DNA Forensic Procedure Amendment Bill. I don't know how far we'll get with that one. Honorable members, we at some stage, I think at our next meeting, which is on the 11th of November, we have to pay attention to the forensic and DNA matter as well as the firearms registry. Last week there were concerns which our members have raised, and we should be discussing that quite intensively when we do the forensics matters in our next portfolio committee meeting. Honorable members, if there's anything you'd like to say before I give the Honorable Minister an opportunity to introduce the matter. I've not seen any hands, I'm sure you'll contribute. Yes, Honorable Meshu.
Leaders of parties have been invited to meet with the Minister of Finance at 10 o'clock, so I'm going to ask to be excused, please.
A number of members have apologized. They would like to leave by 10. That is why I'm saying we are not going to deal with those bills in detail. We are looking at processing those bills and the processes that who follow as well as the kind of work that we would be expected to do in the committee. I'll hand over immediately to the minister and to introduce the presentation. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. More Akhbar Khunebart. Chairperson, the DM is here. I did not canvass him first, but the question of these bills, though I'm properly briefed, they rest with the DM. But you have indicated that you are not more on the content. Today looks like the members requested to be parliament at 10, and the meeting the Minister of Finance, quite several of them here. Leaders of their parties. I know that Mr. Kronenberg is also following that category. So without then waste of time, we are taking on board what you have raised about DNA. Surely, if you say the 11th, I think we'll be ready to be able to make a full and informed presentation by that time, Chairperson. At the present moment, then there are four bills that are on the table, though they're not on the same weight in terms of timing. Others are for this year. Others are for next year. Maybe the secretary who leads this process, the pro-secretariat, Mr. Rapia, will introduce the person that will give us the processes going forward, as you have explained, that we are not more on the content today, but is to understand where we are. Maybe touching on the bills a little bit, but Mr. Rapia, I'll ask him to take us forward with his team where he is. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. Mr. Rapia.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Minister, and Honourable Members. I just want to check in terms of the time. Are you giving us 10, 20 or 30 minutes? Then we will determine the pace based on that. Advocate Bell will lead the presentation. We have put the presentation looking much in the process, but there are areas where there's some little content that we have put in, but I will get guidance from you in terms of the pace on the time.
Mr. Rapia, could you take use 20 minutes so that we have a half an hour to discuss? I'm afraid that by 10 o'clock I will no longer have a quorum. Dr. Groenewald will be leaving, a number of members will be leaving, Shaky Mam, Meshu, so I'm afraid we will not have a quorum. So could you please use 20 minutes and then we'll use the rest of the time for comments. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I will now hand over to Advocate Don Bell to take us through the presentation.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members, Minister, Secretary, and all protocol observed. I will go as quickly as I can through the presentation, and there will be some slides that I will skip, but with your consent. So if it's okay, may I proceed?
You may proceed. Could you just move closer? Your sound is not that good.
Okay, and now, Chair?
Much better.
Thank you. All right, so then I'll start off then with the manner in which I'm going to proceed, which would be a brief introduction, the purpose of the presentation, and then the four bills will follow. in the order that they are there, the criminal, the DNA one, the firearms, the FAPS one, and the IPED amendment bill. And then just wanted to give by way of introduction, Honourable Chair, that we received a letter from the leader of government business early in January for our legislative program for 2020-2021. We were also urged to make sure that all departments limit the number of bills to at least 30, and those have to be considered to be strategic or ready for introduction for 2020. So what we did then was that we selected the bills that we were going to present, that were going to be ready for introduction this year, and they were the SAPS bill, the Protection of Constitutional and Democracy Against Terrorist and Related Activities Amendment Bill, which is commonly known as the Poxa Tara, and the firearms. That was what we had earmarked for this year. And bearing in mind here that the parliamentary year is different to the ordinary year that we work with. The year works from January to December, and we work in the financial year from April to March the following year. So we're bearing that in mind. This is why we chose those bills, because we were quite far advanced with them, and we knew that we could make it by the end of the year to have for introduction. I'm not sure whether that is still the case now, because of course with the COVID incident that's happened, it's taken us at least 4 months backward, but we are working very progressively and very aggressively to meeting these targets. Then the ones that we had set for 2021 were also the controlled animals and animal product bill, the second amendment bill, food bill, and the regulation of gathering bill. And then for both slide four, the IPED amendment was also on the list for 2021. In May, however, we received another letter asking us to reassess and reprioritize all legislation to respond to and address COVID-19 and other related challenges. I mean, in light of this, request, we forwarded to the leader of government business two bills, which were the one and the pocket other one. So then if we move on to the purpose of this presentation, as by invitation from the portfolio committee, we were asked to give an update on the status of these bills, and the ones that we were asked to discuss was the DNA bill, the firearms, the SAPS one, and the ICED bill. So in that order, Chair, I'm going to start with the criminal, the DNA bill. So without going into too much background, I'm going to skip this slide, because this just gives us the background of when this bill was, when this came under review for this, the transitional provisions that became problematic. The time it expired on the 31st of January 2017 for the Schedule 8 convicted offenders to have all their buccal samples taken. So we immediately embarked on this bill. So it isn't a renewal, but it's a new provision that we ask people, because transitional arrangements cannot be renewed. So what this bill was seeking to do then was to ask for new transitional provisions in respect of the full implementation of the Act. And also in this bill we have the enforcement of the obligation to submit to the taking of buccal samples, which is not in the current Act as it stands, because what was happening was that the Schedule 8 offenders were just refusing to take it, and there was no recourse. So this we put in to force them to submit to buccal samples. So this bill was scheduled to be presented to the JCPS Cabinet Committee in May 2018, but this did not take place, and it was decided that the bill would be held in abeyance pending the proposal to Home Affairs, to the Minister of Home Affairs, to investigate the feasibility of extending the buccal sampling to all citizens of the country, including infants at birth. So what we were saying in our letter to the Minister of Home Affairs was that we suggested that a similar process to that of fingerprinting and the taking of photographs, which is currently used for identification purposes as well for the detection of crime, investigation of an offence, flight test, the indication of the identification of missing persons and the identification of unidentified human remains, or the conducting of a prosecution. These are checked against the databases of the Department of Home Affairs, Department of Transport, or any other Department of State in the national sphere of government. However, this would require that empowering legislation for this to happen, and the fingerprinting is currently being administered by SAP. For the proposal we had, we have to get the Department of Home Affairs on board to do this, because they are mandated for the buckling sampling of the whole country. It would fall under their mandate. And the purpose for these proposals, Chair, was to address the high levels of crime in the country and the urgent needs to strengthen the South African crime fighting capacity in order to effectively fight crime and to convict criminals. A letter was sent on behalf of the minister to the Minister of Home Affairs to see if this was a feasible suggestion, and to date we are still waiting for them to respond to us. What they have said is that they will have to first conduct research into this, and then as recent as day before yesterday, I received an email from an official in the Department of Home Affairs that says, "Dear colleagues, please note the minister has informed us that we will deal with the matter early next year, kind regards." So in view of this, then, Chair, after we had briefed minister the other day, he was saying that that we should continue, because this is going to be a lengthy process, we should continue with this proposal of the bill that we have as it stands. And where we were at the time, Chair, was we were going to ask for approval from Cabinet to introduce the bill and not publish it first for public comments due to the urgency of this bill. So if we go that route, then it shouldn't take us long to get it into Parliament for introduction. So that's where we are with this DNA bill. We will proceed with it now and get it onto the agenda for the next cabinet meeting, because we had already followed all the processes that we needed to do before it was taken off the agenda. So if I'm allowed to, if there's no questions here, or the questions will be asked later, I'd like to proceed to the next one with your consent, Chair.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair. All right, then the next bill that we're going to deal with then, and this is very brief, is also the draft Firearms Control Amendment Bill. Now, in spite of the fact that we've highlighted certain bills that the leader of government business can expect from us, we have not taken our foot off the pedal. We are still working aggressively with the other bills because they are as important as change. So in terms of the Draft Firearms Control Amendment Bill, the bill has been finalized. And the minister has been briefed on the provisions of the draft bill and approved the internal consultation processes to proceed. So we have already presented to the JCPS DGs, and they've supported that this bill can go on to the minister's cluster on condition that the issues that were raised by SAPS are dealt with before we go to the JCPS minister's cluster. So we have dealt with these issues, and we are going to brief Minister in the foreseeable future. We are going to be briefing him on how the bill looks now after the content received from SAP. However, there is an issue of the costing of the implementation of the SAP bill that is still outstanding, and we have been trying to get this information, because it's required for our CAB memo. We've been trying to get it from SAPS, and we will make sure that this is obtained before we go to the minister's cluster. So that's where we are with this. And then with this bill, then cabinet will be sought, cabinet approval will be sought for the publication of, in the Gazette for public comment, and this is targeted for the fourth quarter. That would be from January to March next year for public comment. So that's all I have to say on the firearms control amendment bill, Chair. So if I'm allowed to, I'll move on to the step one.
Continue.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, so the steps one, we've got a number of slides here, and I'm going to cut down on that. I'm just going to go to the to where we are with the process at the moment to save on time. So the bill has been published for public comment. We've embarked on provincial consultations, Chair, from Monday the 26th, and yesterday consultations were held in two districts in Cape Town. And as I'm seated here now, I'm in KZN, I'm at the Casper the Police Academy. We are getting ready, I think they're going to start in the next few minutes for the presentation to be delivered to the members that were invited, the communities that were invited here to this session. And then we move on to Potchefstroom this afternoon for tomorrow's meeting. So we've started with the provincial consultations, and the consultations, Chair, at this point are not to defend the bill, but to elicit comments on the bill, and also to clarify issues that are not clear for people in order to, for them to make a positive or a meaningful, sorry, contribution to what they would like to see in the bill. So the date has been extended from the 17th of November now to the 27th of November 2020 to enable all people to give their written comments to disability. So that's where we are with this bill at the moment. And then the last one then is, that I was asked to present on is the IPED. And with the IPED one as well, I'll just very briefly just remind the Portfolio Committee that in January 2018, the previous Portfolio Committee decided to commence with their committee bill. So the bill in its current form, the holistic looking at the bill and reviewing of the bill, that process was suspended, even though there was a bill at that stage that was ready announced due to the changes that have taken place and the further consultations we had with among even the detectives of IPES, the bill has changed somewhat. And so what happened is that it was identified as a priority bill for 2021. A drafting team comprising of CSPS and IPED, mostly legal officials, although in IPED we also have detectives there. It's important to get their views on what is hampering their work in view of the current stance. So it's important to have them there so that we can also see what their views are. So we've got a few members of the investigators, sorry, not detectives, investigators that from IPED that are also part of the drafting team. And what we did was we developed a project plan that sets out the time frames for the development of this bill for the purpose of introduction in Parliament before the end of 2021. The target that we are looking for is actually the before is what we are working on. So if we move on to slide 15, then just to inform EHA and the committee, the portfolio committee, that the draft bill was consulted on internally, that is the ministry, IPED, national and provincial offices, as well as the various secretariats. And for what it's worth, we even asked staff for some input on the bill, which they did provide us with, even though we haven't brief them on the entire bill, but the sections that impacted on SEPs and SEPs working, they just give us input on that. So on the 10th of September, then we briefed all our principals, included the minister, deputy minister, the secretary, and the executive director on the final version of the bill. They gave us some inputs, which we made changes to. to the current bill, and on the 15th of September, the bill was processed to the office of the Chief State Law Advisor and was allocated to an advisor who is familiar with the contents of the bill because they worked with the previous amendments that we were busy with, and they undertook to work as quickly as they can on it, and also that because with the consultations in person have been cut down because of the COVID, we offered that we could consult telephonically or even via one of these virtual platforms in order to clear up any, if there's any issues of clarity that they wanted us to brief them on. So on the 21st of October, I then made contact with the state's law advisor, and he confirmed that the preliminary certificate is in the process of being finalized and it should reach the department shortly. So if we move on to slide 16 then, which will be my final slide. So this is basically talking to the way forward with this amendment bill. In the once we receive the preliminary certificate from the state law advisor, we will consider all the inputs that they make and incorporate them into the bill. And then we will seek approval from the minister on these changes that will come about as a result of our interaction with the state law advisor in order to proceed with the consultation for cabinet approval for publication in the Gazette for public comments. And then once these comments have been received, Chair, we will then, they will be considered, and those that are useful, we will incorporate into the draft bill. And then the various processes which we have previously followed to get to the stage where we are at now will be followed again for final approval for introduction of the bill into, cabinet for introduction to parliament. And then that, Chair, brings me to the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Honourable, could you remove the presentation, please? Honourable Deputy Minister, since the Minister said that this is your priority area, would you like to comment, Honourable Deputy Minister?
No, thanks very much, Chairperson and members of the committee. Good morning, Minister and Secretary. I think I should allow the members to raise questions. I'm happy with what has been presented by Advocate. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Members. I'll be taking your hands for input or questions. Please remember we are discussing processes today and not content. I'm waiting for it. Honourable Whitfield, I've noted you, and then Honourable Meshu. Honourable Whitfield?
Yeah, I've got my hand up. Shaky Mum.
Shaky Mum, and then I'll see the Blanche as well.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you to the Secretary and to Advocate Bell for the presentation. I think we can agree it was the most efficient presentation we've had in a while with a lot of content, so thank you very much for the manner in which that was done. Chair, we are all aware of the history of the, if I may call it, the DNA Bill, the Forensic Procedures Amendment Bill, and so I don't want to go over the past delays that have brought us to today, but rather to thank the Minister for acknowledging that the process can proceed in conjunction with the project outlined by the Minister of Home Affairs for a national DNA database. That discussion obviously is a separate discussion, but I'm glad in terms of the process and the timeline that we now are able to deal with those two concurrently and not as part and parcel of the same process. That bill has been ready for some time, and so I presume, Chair, that we will be seeing it gazetted urgently, given the crisis that we're facing in the criminal justice system. and how important that bill is, highlighted, Chair, by the fact that we will be able to ensure longer sentences for those whose DNA can be traced to other crimes. And so it is a critically important piece of legislation which touches on your introductory comments regarding the spate of murders of young children, also the murders and rapes of South Africans of all communities across the country. Chair, then back to the Firearms Control Amendment Bill. We as a committee must just be very, very aware, Chair, and I think it would be useful as part of the process to invite the Central Firearms Registry to come and present on the chaos that besets that department. We've recently seen the parole of Colonel Prinsloo, who was sentenced to 18 years. He's been released after 4 years. He was responsible for selling guns into ganglands of the Western Cape as a police officer. We've seen two guys arrested just yesterday, and so we commend police and the minister for taking decisive action. But we need to know what the capabilities are of the Central Firearms Registry while considering this bill. Chair, and then I think Advocate has covered me on the IPED bill, and I'm sure Honourable will touch on the SAPS Amendment bill. But with respect to the IPED Amendment bill, it was my understanding that it should really be ready to go. I mean, there shouldn't be too much more time required to refine the bill. It's obviously a very clear priority to make sure that we get that done as soon as possible. So I don't know if we can get a more specific timeline, and perhaps I missed it, but it will be done within this financial year and get it, or is there still far too much consultation required? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Whitfield, Honourable Meshu, and then Sheikh Imam, Sir Blanche, and then Faku.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the Firearms Control Amendment Bill, I want to know what is delaying the costing, the implementation of the costing of this bill. Where are the challenges, and when can we expect that to happen? And the second one, I want to understand why a police officer that has been arrested for selling guns to criminals would be allowed to have bail. While I know that it is the courts that determine who gets bail and who does not, I am of the opinion that the police must do their utmost, even if there has to be an amendment or insertion of a clause that raises the issue of bail to be denied for officials that are working with criminals. There are unfortunately a lot of innocent lives that are lost because of criminals who are in cahoots with the police. So my simple question is the police, is the department doing enough to ensure that criminals, police that are involved in such serious criminality are denied bail? And the third one is to understand, actually it's more a question of clarity about these buccal samplings. What would be the benefit to the country if we enforce them on all citizens? Because what we know that we have high levels of crime in the country, the majority of citizens are not criminals. So it's a matter of clarity. I want to know do we have an idea or a plan or intention to make it compulsory for all, when most of the citizens are law-abiding citizens? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Sheikh Imam.
Thank you very much, Chair, and I thank you for highlighting the plight of children. There's a child that has just died. I've just got news, mauled by a pit bull in at the park, and added to that is another child that just lost their eyesight because of a criminal in Craven B. This crimp is roaming the streets. Apparently, he's a menace to society in that area. But let me come back to the issue of the DNA pool. I think it will go a long way in solving some of the issues. Falls under SEPs particularly, and a good example is the issue of some of the nationals from other countries that are here and who die here and have no facility, like the Tanzanian that took 3 months that are dying in a morgue, so we welcome that. But my question will be on the IFED bill. We discussed in this house previously the issue of the IFED bill amendment, including those law enforcement officers and things who must also be held accountable and fall under South African police services, who are excluded at the moment, because I think only Metro and South African police services officers are investigated by IFED. So I'd like to know, how is that going to impact on getting this IFED amendment bill, or is it now going to delay it? Do we need to introduce this into that as well? Stop there. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Imam. Honorable De Blanche.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, Chairperson. I am going to say something on the draft South African Police Service Amendment Bill. Let me start by thanking the Minister, you know, and everybody that, you know, worked on this bill. And first, the fact that commence the date is now moved to the 27th of November. I know that we're not going to discuss other things today. There are some concerns that we have about that bill, you know, about constitutionality and stuff like that. But Chairperson, I think that we are making good progress, and at the opportune time we will deal, you know, with the definite things, you know, and all the stuff contained in the bill. For now, I think I'll stop there, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable De Blanche. Honorable Faku, Mapatu, and then Majosi.
Thank you, Chair, and greetings to yourself and greetings to honorable members. Chair, let us appreciate the work that has been done by the minister and the ministry and the department. Really, we can see that when we talk, I don't know if there's someone that is talking on the side, Chair. Okay. We see that as a
Sorry, honorable members, could you please mute your mic? My apologies, honorable Faku, you may continue.
Thanks, Chair. I'm saying that let us appreciate the good work that has been done by the minister. We appreciate, especially with these bills. Chair, but also let us appreciate your opening remarks. You know, it's so sad when you wake up to such bad news to hear that a six-year-old was brutally raped and she was stabbed in her neck. One really don't understand what is happening in our country. But one thing that I would request the minister, so that as we're trying to rebrand the South African Police Services, maybe the provincial leaderships of SAPS must visit that family, and just to make sure that whoever has committed such crime, those people are arrested. But I think I also agree with Honorable Whitfield on the forensic amendment bill. I think this will take us a long way, especially for criminals not to wait for a long period to be prosecuted. So I think one must appreciate that the work that the department is doing. But I think also the department must put a bit of pressure when it comes to home affairs. They must understand the urgency of this bill. Secondly, Chair, I think let us appreciate the Police Service Amendment Bill, especially after the Marikana tragedy. The judge finally made recommendations which included the appointment of the international panel of experts to investigate crowds. So I think this is also one of the things that we need to appreciate, but also other issues that we have raised in the committee in the past. And also the IFED bill, I think also that this one really, as a committee, we almost did not agree, but I think we must appreciate that we're sitting here today. And then, Chair, my last point will be the firearms amendment bill. I think yesterday we have seen, I think it has been raised, that some police are stealing these guns. So I think this must have very strict rules to make sure that whoever, especially if police are the ones now who are doing such crimes, they must really be held responsible. So we really appreciate the work that has been done thus far. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Faku, Honorable Mapatsu, Majozi, and in Whitfield.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I also want to join other honorable members on waking up on this very sad news. And we've said, I think our society needs to be really, really educated or what. But I think we need to bring the society together. But I think we should take note or also recommend that, because we have met today and your opening remarks, Chair, they represent all of us here, that much of the police will be doing their work. But we also issue a statement, Chairperson, through you, of condolences and condemning this heinous act committed by, you know, I don't know whether to call them people or what, but as a committee, to show that as we met today, really we take note of that and we condemn those brutal actions committed by these heinous people. But I'm very happy that there is a movement on this bills. And as long as we do our monitoring very well, I think there will be approved as a matter of agency. I also want to support Honorable Whitfield and Honorable Faku, especially the Minister, for saying they're going to run concurrently these things of that other bill. But as we wait for the Home Affairs, it should not hold us, not a ransom, it's not a good word, but we should not stop doing our work, because you will have more prisoners still waiting for this thing there, not being sent. And just what the police have managed to break through now on the Senza Meiwan case. Imagine if we had all those things in place, would have done a lot. But thanks that the minister is doing this thing concurrently, and the DA under the DM. But all in all, I think we appreciate this movement of making sure that these bills are done as we have requested, or as has been requested by the leader of governance. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mapatsu. I think there are two matters which this committee has to express itself on. And that would be the spate of violence against children, the murders of children, and then also the manner in which we are responding to firearms. I do take strong exception, and I think the committee has also spoken about this Colonel Chris Prinsloo, who is on parole after he served only 4 years of his 18-year sentence. I think yesterday we had another incident of police officers who were apprehended because of their involvement in illicit firearms. So those two matters, I think, we cannot leave unattended, and we'll comment about that in the media. Honorable Majozi, are you there?
Yes, Chair.
You may continue.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. No, firstly, maybe let us thank and welcome the bills that have been presented today. And maybe I agree with honorable members who have spoken before that the forensic bill, it needs to be fast-tracked urgently, because once we cannot prove the DNA of the culprits, then it puts the victim's trauma into more discourse. And also to appreciate the zeal of the police, also that societies will be able now to maybe understand that they will get the protection from the police and are able to fulfill their full potential. And hopefully, Chair, that as you had said in your welcoming remarks, that what happened to that six-year-old, and hopefully the case will be fast-tracked and it won't drag and delay like the Sands on the Iwa case, because then it also, it doesn't give hope to the families and the society that lives around there to say that the justice will be served. Just a suggestion, Chair, I'm not sure how we can do it, but if maybe it's possible for us to also speak to the Justice Department that, I mean, we can't have people who are committing serious crimes, murder, and then they go on parole. Like, can we at least have that discussion on who is deserving and on merits, that which kind of case is this one? And I mean, if you kill and brutally kill a six-year-old, rape and brutally kill, you don't even deserve to see the light of day. So maybe also not Home Affairs only, but we must also engage with the Justice Department to see how we can, because if police are trying so hard to then bring the criminals into accountability, and when it goes to court, then it becomes a totally different thing, then the societies and communities that we are representing will lose hope, and they won't know that it's with the justice or what. They will think that, no, the police did not do their work. So I think maybe we should also engage them to see how best can we find each other on this one, because it's a real concern that a person who has murdered or who has done a brutal crime will be allowed maybe to have parole and so forth. Maybe those are the discussions that we need to have with them. But we welcome all the presented bills today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Majozi. Honorable Whitfield, you wanted another bite?
Thank you, Chair. Just very briefly, a point that I excluded was that I would like to appeal to the Minister to pay careful attention to the funding of that DNA or the Forensic Procedures Amendment Bill. The current crisis with our forensic laboratories and the testing of DNA is related to funding shortfalls. We can't allow this bill to be passed and then sabotaged because we haven't aligned our funding priorities with this important piece of legislation. It is the heartbeat of the criminal justice system, Chairperson, and I really want to appeal that the Minister takes note of the request that we just keep a very close eye on the availability of funding to ensure that the bill is implemented to its full extent and finds full expression. And then just a question to the Civilian Secretariat whether the costing for that bill has been done, and if they could just tell us or remind us what that what the costing for the bill was. Thank you.
Honourable Members, before I allow the Civilian Secretariat, the Minister and the Deputy Minister to respond, I do believe that sooner rather than later we should have a joint meeting, and we've been discussing this and requesting this consistently, that we have meetings with the peace and security cluster, and that we call a cluster meeting with, or a joint meeting with the security cluster of portfolio committees. Our time has also just been really, really really compromised because of COVID. But the matters I'm working on now would be an oversight visit to Gauteng and a this type of joint cluster meeting with the peace and stability cluster of portfolio committees. Honourable Shembeni still had his hand up before I do allow for responses. Honourable Shembeni.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Honourable Minister, and thanks for the presentation. Mine is just to ask a quick question to the Minister, is that don't we have some measures whereby we can detect offenders or perpetrators of crime as soon as possible, like, for instance, the morpho touch thing, that is to say, when it's being used on roadblocks, ports of entries, it detects quickly whether that person is wanted for an alleged crime or what. My question is, can't we have such measures whereby we can detect as soon as possible in some other areas to help the SAPS in the detection of crime around South Africa? Because you will find out that the use of the buccal samples and this other message in the Home Affairs, other people are not documented. But with the use of other measures, it's easy to identify or detect those people on roadblocks, anywhere, and on ports of entries. There are people who are crossing without passports, especially on festive seasons, Easter weekends. You see, we've got a lot of people that are flocking back home, Mozambique, Lesotho, and what. So with these morpho touches and some other measures, I think it can help. I just want to find out from the minister if can't that be used to help us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Could I get an indication from the minister in which order we'll get the responses?
I will start if DM has an addition, and then we go to Advocate Bell, Chairperson.
You may proceed, thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, we thank the Portfolio Committee in concurrence with us on the dual approach on the matter of forensic Bakal and all that. We do want to work hard on the enforcement portion going forward on the matter. Maybe the writer is what was asked by Honorable Babumfundi Sumashwe, which why this should be universal. We believe that it should be just like a fingerprint, Babumfundi. And then we immediately were able to determine that we are looking at the South African of somebody that is here or somebody that is not South African who just came through the other means. It will really help. I hope there won't be much resistance on that and as we use fingerprints, but it will help. But that doesn't mean that we must stop now to deal with those hardcore criminals that are on the system at the present moment. We have been urged by the Portfolio Committee to move faster on that one. Advocate Bell did suggest how do we think and how do we plan to short circuit legally so on the matter so that we come up sooner. So we thank that support. Honorable Wilfred, you know that one issue that as the South African police were raised and frustrates us big time is the issue of BAYS. That really frustrates us. You just know. But that now all of a sudden goes with the issue of parole. I nearly jumped out of my skin when I heard the issue of parole of Colonel Princeton. I did try to find out what was the reason. Well, I was told that his arrest was not put on the category of the violent crime. I was really surprised that if you illegally sell 2,000 plus guns to the gangsters for those guns to mow down women, to mow down children, how people would say you are not involved in violent crime. But the crux of the matter is out now. Maybe what the chair said and what we have been requesting ourselves is that that cluster must come together and help us. The problem here on this one, honorable members, now all bashing goes to the police. You don't know how much we're having a problem with the Schedule 6 and all other schedule bails that are there. There is a big, big problem with the bail of cash fast transit. You find more than half of those people are on bail. And when they're on bail, they never stop. So now, police must chase them again and all that kind of stuff. So we hope that meeting does take place and we all raise our issues. Why Schedule 6? Not once, not twice. We find that a person has a bail 10 times that is on cash heist. I don't know what happens, but it's a problem that we don't want to go to public platform and shout about those things. But we hope that internally we really need to look at it very, very closely. The IP, we have tried to expand it, that it looks everybody, your ROTI, especially all those people that they work armed and in an organized way, that is their policy and their armed. So we think that is an issue. Again, honorable professor, the issue of the laboratories is not just only the funding. Some of the things that they give us problem are contracts. You would know that as political executives, you try to stay away from the contract as much as you can because it does put you on the back feet when you try to correct that. It's always interpreted as interference, but we do try. We do have the problems when it comes to laboratories as we speak, your DNA and all other things, your PCM. The problem of contracts that are there. We are trying to work on them. Deputy Minister is leading with that. We need to meet the Minister of Finance and others to deal with those matters. But I fully agree. If we put all our scientific work, your laboratories, your DNA, your ballistics, your IPs, every crime will be solved and solved in a very short time. The member, Mr. Shemben, we once had this Morpho Touch. It's a very handy machine. You find a lot of your candidates and your clients on the roadblocks when this machine is functioning properly. And I'm told that one is outdated. We're trying to get the updated one, so that on the roadblocks we are able to get. We have a lot of our clients on the highways that we with this science we can help us to work. But what has been suggested by the members is taken on board, and from that level we shall put. And must remember, all these bills, they also are enabling the environment of policy, of which as the police would really love to be enabled and do better work. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister. I know that you normally do not like to speak after your minister, but your minister had directed you to speak now.
No. Thanks, Chair. I take note of that preamble that you have made, but I think the minister responded appropriately to the issues that were raised by members. All I can say is to appreciate the collaborative nature of how we work with the committee. If you look at this and how decisions were taken here, we've taken it into consideration. We'll look at that. We should continue collaborating in that fashion. I think, I'm covered with what the minister has said, Chair. Thank you very much. We can ask Advocate Bell if there is any matter that they will want to talk to, but I think the minister covered the issue.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister. The advocate.
Thank you, Chair. As PM and Minister before me said, Minister has covered most of the issues, but there are a few that I'd just like to talk to. The IPRED, for instance, somebody asked, I think it was Honorable Whitfield that asked about time frame. So we are looking at, he rightfully says that the bill should be practically ready, but as another Honorable member mentioned that the IPRED should include the law enforcement. So that we are looking at as our main issue at the moment. So we're waiting patiently to hear, or impatiently to hear from the stakeholder advisors on what their take is and who from law enforcement should be included under the ambit of IPRED. So that's what we are waiting for. And then hopefully, I don't anticipate that it's going to cause an unnecessary delay, but we were gauging at around August next year for introduction. We will try our level best to bring the date forward, but following those processes is not always easy, and most times it's out of our hands. So that's as far as that goes. With the IPRED, we're looking at least August for that introduction. Then the other one that I thought I might comment on, if I can just find the... somebody asked about firearms, what's holding up the costing of the firearms. So that is also something that is out of our hands. We need the costing and we need it from CEPS. They are the implementers. So what I can comment on that is that on the 27th of November, a letter was sent to the National Commissioner from our Secretary asking him to give us these figures, requesting a closing date by the 2nd of December. This didn't happen. Round about March, early March, another letter was sent to the commissioner, to the national commissioner, asking him again to respond to the previous letter.
Advocate Baird.
Yes, sir.
We are not here to complain to the committee. If there is such a problem, let's meet the commissioner and sort it out. We can't talk of letters that have no responses. Bring the information or facilitate, we meet him, and then they must explain why they are not responding. I'm sorry, Chair, for that, but I think we can come and complain about our staffs and the civilian secretariat is what we account for, so we can't have a problem with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. That concludes my responses.
Chair.
Who's muted everyone?
Chair. So,
yes, Minister.
I don't want to be reprimanded by the Deputy Minister that I'm complaining here. But may I emphasize this request of calling the cluster, Chair, working, we're really suffering on things. For instance, this letter, I wrote the letter to the Home Affairs when it was Dr. Gcwele, who was the minister then. If we can just pull all of us together and other portfolio, other chairs, and then we see how really we work on these matters, because we try to move faster, but somewhere you're stopped. That's my request, Chairperson, that if that meeting can really take place, it can help us a lot. Thanks.
Members,
we hear you, Chair.
No, she's muted. Yeah.
No, I get kicked in and out. All right, sorry. Honourable members, I did not get the what the Deputy Minister said.
No, I said that. We can't come to you, Chair, and say the Commissioner is not giving us information. What is that? The Commissioner comes to us. So it can't be that we can't get information from the Commissioner. So I was saying that from this meeting, I'm going to call the Commissioner and the Secretariat so that we sort out this thing. We can't come and complain here to you when we're supposed to sort it out out there. That's what I was saying, Chair. You are muted, Chair.
Maybe they like teaching it out.
Excuse me, honourable members, the chair has been kicked out. She's just sent me a message to ask Mr. Mapatwe if he could continue with the meeting. Thanks.
She doesn't pay her bills.
in any way, we're about to conclude. But there were only responses and clarity that I hope the GM will try and explain to her that no, we can't complain that you don't get information. So they will deal with it outside from here, and we'll get report. In general, we're agreeing with the good work that the departments are doing under the executive, good leadership, and working together with the committee. So we were very happy and were saying, let's keep it up, and let's make sure that this bills that have been a problem to not only us, but for making sure that those who are involved in serious crimes, we must deal with if we have that the DNA and forensic, what you call bill, passed. And we said we're happy with the ministers running these things concurrently with the Home Affairs and agreeing that maybe the caucus joint portfolio committee meeting should be arranged so that we don't work in silos, that maybe when they hear from us as members of parliament that these things affect the Minister of Police, we as a portfolio committee as playing our oversight role, we put more pressure on the minister and say, Minister, this thing must happen. You promise that it will happen. Only to find that it's not the problem of the minister. But when we're together, we'll be able to deal with them. I think now you are back, Chairperson. You can conclude your meeting, Chairperson.
Thank you for standing in for me, Honorable Mapatu. Honorable members, I'm sorry that I missed the last part of the meeting. You would understand and appreciate that today we are not looking at the substantial matters that will bring the different acts to amendment bills to you. I think we can get further briefings again. The business of this committee is also to look at the passing of legislation that is the core business of any portfolio committee. So I would like to thank members and appreciate that we will be monitoring the legislation very frequently. Honourable Minister and Honourable Deputy Minister, thank you very much. Honourable members, thank you very much. The meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chair.
You must not be cheated out, man.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
They don't respect the chair. They just cheat here like that.
They say you didn't pay the bill, Chair.
Oh, my God.